God be glorified and we ourselves be edified in His worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to take time out of our life to worship with one another. Heavenly Father, encourage one another, utilization of spiritual gifts, worship in the manner in which You have prescribed for us and left for us, Heavenly Father, and we engage ourselves in the assembly until He comes. So by our assembling of ourselves, Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to exemplify and testify of our faith and hope of the coming of Jesus Christ to call the church home, and then, Heavenly Father, establishing His kingdom. Until that day comes, it is our privilege to assemble together to worship, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. You were just playing Praise Him, Praise Him, 67? Yeah. A very good time in Arkansas Thursday and Friday night. Came down from Conway. We just had a wonderful time. It's always fun to go up there. Very good energy and enjoyment and excitement about the scriptures. And we just had a well-attended and good time. So thank you for your prayers. Couple of things in regard to being notified of. There'll be no class Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. So we plan to be with your families and on Wednesday evening. We will meet for our study in Revelation on Tuesday night this week, but no class Wednesday. We've got a funeral to do Wednesday, and then I'm going to go be with my mother and my aunt. December 4th and 5th, that's Tuesday and Wednesday night, we will not have class. I will be teaching in New Hampshire. So please be in prayer. Looking forward to going to New Hampshire. We've got a nice group of believers that are on our case there. And what is so interesting is the outreach of these few people. And there could be quite a few that would come together if everything were to work out that way, and they do end up coming. So please be in prayer about the teaching in New Hampshire. I got to tell you the way Tom's a policeman, and he was telling one of his buddies who is also a policeman, and they have been on the force for a long time together. And so Tom got with him, and Tom said, "Okay, now, here's the thing. I got something I want you to listen to. I got something that I want you to hear, and I want you to understand that when you listen to this, it's going to ruin your life. You can't believe the pressure, the suffering, the adversity." Exactly what he said to him. "You just can't believe how things are going to fall apart if you start listening to these things. You're going to have attacks in your marriage, in your finance, in your life. You just can't believe it. And it's the greatest thing you'll ever listen to in your entire life." And the cop friend here, "Man, I don't know about how to take that. I got to listen to it now." And so he and his wife, the policeman and his wife, are both listening. And told Tom, "I'm not sure that technique will always work, but give it a shot." And so do please be in prayer about New Hampshire. And then as we go through, I haven't looked when Christmas is, but New Year's Eve, we will have our class here, and we'll kick off our study of Being Who You Are in Christ, or Why Christians Suffer from Stress, Anxiety, and Depression. We will start that New Year's Eve, going into the new year, being set free of those things. Then in the area of prayer, in our immediate assembly, Julie Cooper, I don't know how many of y'all have met Julie and her husband, moved here from Tulsa some time ago, and she's having a lot of physical problems, so please be in prayer for Julie. And it's one of those kind of things. Julie's one of those people, highly professional, highly busy, just too busy to really take time and go to the doctor and make it all happen tomorrow. So she's putting it off a while. And so please be in prayer for Julie and her husband and for her body at this time. This would be a prayer, I guess, of really Thanksgiving. Larry and Brian and Amber and Kenzie were in a severe accident, automobile accident Thursday night. Car was almost totally damaged, totaled out. But they walked away just with the minor injuries and things to the back and neck and things, but doing very well, very happy. Wow. And so very thankful about that. And now Pat Thompson's sister, Debbie Cena. Debbie Cena. Pat's sister is having a new bout with cancer. She lives in Washington, the state of Washington. So let's be in prayer for Debbie Cena and her battle with cancer. Does anybody have anything that I'm not aware of we need to come together and pray about concerning? Please do not stop praying in regard to the property. The state just has not made up their mind yet and don't know what's holding them up, but I'm not surprised. It's government. And that says about all that needs to be said in that respect, that it is government. The government has to make their mind in that area. So please be in prayer. God's will be done in that respect. So these are just some things that we have to bring before you for prayer. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purchaseth his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And everyone here has accepted Christ as Savior. And the great area, great issue in giving is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just one of those things that we will see happening when we walk by faith in the Spirit. We will see this occurring. It's not a matter of doing without the power of the Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I give all my money to the poor so that I myself become poor, it profiteth me nothing. Without love. I do not have love. And without love means not walking in the power of the Spirit. It's a response of love to what God is doing. It's not trying to impress God, trade out with God, get something from God, simply responding to who and what God is. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this facet of worship, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved in this worship. First of all, the sphere of freedom politically and economically that we enjoy in America. And we know, Heavenly Father, that it is because of you that we have this freedom. David said that his hope was not in his sword or his horse. Yet he had a sword and he rode on a horse. But that was not his confidence. We are appreciative, Heavenly Father, for our military. We are appreciative and thankful for those who have given their lives throughout the history of this country from the very beginning to secure in Satan's world this freedom that we enjoy, the freedom to do with our lives as we see fit. Which means, Heavenly Father, the freedom to waste away our life. Freedom to live your life means the freedom to waste it, to throw it away. To from you, just not really care. But we have that freedom to do it. We also have the freedom, Heavenly Father, to do something with our lives. We have the freedom, Heavenly Father, to live where we wish, to worship the church of our choice, marriage. So many wonderful decisions, what to do with our finances. Father, we thank you for this freedom. But we cross this freedom wherewith we have been set free, the great freedom that is given to us by Jesus Christ on the cross. It is in the spiritual realm of freedom, Father, that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom. It is here that we have eyes to see how to use our lives, whom to marry, where to live, where to worship, what to do with our lives day in and day out. So we are most appreciative and thankful, Heavenly Father, for the freedom wherewith we have been set free. And as we cross both spheres of freedom this morning, Heavenly Father, in offertory, we pray that you will receive these offerings and that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. In your prayers, I'd also like you to be in prayer for a gentleman named Joe Smith. Now, I know that sounds like a... I told him, I said, no, I met him in the gym in Hot Springs Friday morning, about 6:30, and we got to talking, and I said, boy, if I've ever heard of an alias, I mean, Smith's bad enough, and Joe, but when you put them together, he laughed. He said, yeah, I know. We had a really good talk, and just be in prayer for him. You can't forget that name, Joe Smith. And just said he and his family will order the tapes and maybe get into the truth as you and I understand it in his life. One question I'd like to ask, and those of you that come, I guess I should wait until Wednesday night, but those of you that come Tuesday night in the study of Revelation and we're using the handout, would that be effective in our study of being who you are in Christ? Hello? Anybody there? I was afraid you were going to say that. I don't know how to do that, how I'm going to do it, but the lady that's on our case in Florida is very strong on us and on it being in print. She wants to use it in their church. She goes, she attends a church that's very strong in working with people who hurt, both street people, professionals, anybody with all kinds of inner hurts and what we're studying. And she's just gotten the little excerpts that I do and various things and just already given them to her pastor. And he's they want to use it as, if we can do that, some type of a manual that he just never has heard and studied. Old man, new man is the solution, and where the stress, anxiety, and depression come from, and the entire thing. So I'm going to ask for prayers. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but be in prayer, and we'll see how it works. We'll start that New Year's Eve. Okay, this morning, we got, I want to finish up our study in testing and suffering, so please turn to James, the Epistle of James. You find Revelation, you can find James. Go back a little bit, James chapter 1. Not a difficult book once you understand what James is saying and how James thinks, what he's saying in regard to the production of faith. And all you have to do, some people claim they are doing faith, but James did not see spiritual love even in the assembly where everyone claimed that they were doing it. You can't claim that you're walking by faith and spiritual love be wanting there. And all these things that we're looking at, and we've got faith is just going to have a manifestation. And I like James, that James did not say, you are not walking by faith. That would have been a different statement than your faith is dead. Because I'm sure that they had faith. I'm sure that they were trusting something. I'm sure that they had an object of faith. That if they do their part, God will do his part. All these kinds of things. But it was not just a faith in the person of the Holy Spirit to produce that love in their life. So their faith was dead, because dead is, and I like the way James worded it, because there was no life, no production. Faith that is alive is going to be production. There's going to be life there. And when you walk by faith in the Spirit and there is no life, that's love, for God is love, then it is dead. So James is, to me, just a very simple book to understand. And we have dealt that with claiming, and a lot of believers claim that they're walking by faith. A lot of believers claim love, and yet it is not indicative in their life. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture, that the Spirit can open our eyes to the many passages that we're going to look at this morning. You're going to need your Bible, your glasses, and about four or five hands. And so let's get moving. Let's pray. Okay, Father, we understand that adversities are going to come. We understand, Father, that we are to endure through these adversities and sufferings and not turn away from you. But how? How can we have this endurance for our flesh this week? We pray, Father, that the Spirit will open our eyes this morning that we might see where we can gather in this endurance. that even this, even endurance, is a free gift from you. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider, verse 3, knowing. Thought process as you enter into adversity, suffering, testing, whatever it may be. Thought. Whatsoever man thinketh, so he is. What's your thought process? Consider it, the suffering adversity, all forms of it, whether from sin and failure, from Satan, from the world, from the flesh, doesn't matter. All joy. So we consider it all these combined, joy. My brethren, believers, when you encounter, that means you come upon, remember the Greek word, to come upon, you're just walking along in life and kapow, there it is, you're in it. When you encounter diverse or various trials, no specialization, comes from many different directions, sometimes the physical body. I like these people who go around saying, well, if you really had faith, you'd never be sick. Well, that's just so contradictory to Scripture, it's unbelievable. And so it can be the physical body. That's one way God always gets our attention. He gets our attention financially, but boy, when he starts hitting the body, he just got it. We are directly in relating, and we know and feel it. And so he uses the body, he uses finance. So those are two things he uses. Then he uses, he being Satan and God, and the flesh and the world. Then we bring in the third factor, people. Well, we all know that's a big source. That's just, there can be all kinds of things. Husbands, wives, children, parents, family, friends. Romance, a church, it doesn't matter, work. So consider it all joy, my brethren believers, when you encounter various, diverse, it doesn't matter where they come from, how they come about, trials, and we dealt with the word trial. Knowing, okay, there's how you enter it, knowing something. Knowing that the testing for approval of your faith, and we spent one Sunday on what does approval of faith mean? Well, basically, fundamentally, the approval of the object of your faith. Knowing that the approval of the testing for approval of your faith produces endurance. And this brings us now, or has brought us in our study, and I'd like to pull this together this morning if we can. The Holy Spirit's time. Time is vital to the development of endurance. You don't have endurance without that word time. The development of endurance of your faith takes time. In other words, little formula, if you're going to talk about endurance, you're going to have suffering, adversity, tribulation, whatever words and however it may come about. Just it can just people be a torment of the soul. It doesn't have to be something physical, something material, something for other people, something inside of your soul, whatever the adversity is, plus time. And there's the great issue, the matter of time. And we'd all like it to be over in the 30-minute sitcom that we live in our society, where in 30 minutes you have harmony, problem, resolution, and back to harmony, all in 30 minutes. And we like that. And we want that for our life. It doesn't work that way. The whole issue of time. How long is the time? This is what we dealt with last week. How long, oh Lord? How long is this going to go on? How long is the suffering? It may be your whole life. I'm sorry. It may be your circumstance of adversity. This may be your whole life. Paul asked that his thorn in the flesh be taken away, and it was there his whole life. Your physical illness, financial problem, marital problem, a marital situation, whatever. I didn't mean to laugh. I'm sorry. I don't know why I laughed then. But whatever it may be your whole life. It may be the whole, and that's where endurance comes in. And most people have short endurance. You know, I put up with this long enough. I'm out of here. Take this job and shove it. Get a divorce paper. I'm leaving. I'm running. I'm out of here. Real good endurance. And yet we walk away when we do that. Well, this is okay. This is okay. I'm still great with God and all the rest of it. But you're never going to learn endurance. Americans are not good on endurance. We live in a very dynamic, volatile society where things are changing all the time. All the time things are changing. I guess it's now close to 68% of Americans of marriage age have experienced divorce now. And I'm not picking on divorce, and I'm not saying every time you divorce it's wrong. Don't overthink on me. In fact, if you have been divorced, you should give thanks for this kind of teaching to anyone who's young and will listen. Not take it personally. But we like to get out of things. We don't want it to hurt. How can I not allow this to, how can I get out? That's our thought process. How can I run? How can I get away from all of these things? But what you're running from is the formula for developing endurance. And we'll talk about, and we'll talk a little bit more about the importance of endurance. But we live in a time of where we want things done quickly. And what God is saying is, my ways are not your ways. And there are things that are going on in the development of endurance. So the endurance of your faith takes suffering plus time. In the time span. So here's when the suffering circumstances begin, whatever they may be, various, diverse. And then let's just draw a line, and here is the suffering period. Now remember, this may not end. This may go on, but I'm just going to use an idea where we can talk about it. Will you, during this time of adversity, will you stop trusting? Will you just decide, that's it? Will you continue to walk by faith, or will you run? The duration of faith, the duration of love, by the way, it's also a duration of our spiritual love, obviously, in the test, through all of the suffering, through the adversity, through the turmoil. Will you continue to rely on Him, His power, His provision, or, in the midst of it, will you stop the endurance of faith? Will you just give up on God? Will you become discouraged with God, disappointed with God, your view of God, and just say, I've had it, I'm out of here? Will you become, will you stop enjoying the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, I haven't experienced any, so that's that. Will you stop trusting? And then what happens when we do that? Watch what happens. What's the alternative? Peter was able to look at the alternative. Jesus Christ said, you want to go? And Peter said, look, I've looked around. And I like the way he worded it. We've looked. There is no place for us to go. But what happens when we do stop walking by faith? Remember, the alternative is either you're going to walk by faith, endurance of faith, in the midst of all of this, or you're going to go to your plan. You're going to walk by the flesh then. You're going to solve the problem yourself, your way. Something by something that you do. This is what you're going to do. And so it becomes our alternative. You can either walk by faith or walk by the flesh. Walk by the system of the world. Walk by Satan's wisdom. Walk by the flesh. And as a result of this comes about stress, adversity, and depression. The sadness of life. Or we can continue to walk and trust Him. And people, it doesn't mean you're not going to hurt. I want to make that very clear. Walking by faith doesn't mean you don't hurt. You're going to hurt while you're still trusting. Just because somebody hurts and maybe even cries does not mean they're not walking by faith. A doctor's healing your body. Maybe it's you broke some bones and so it's being healed. There's going to be some pain in the healing process, but it's healing. So don't misunderstand and misjudge what's going on. You're going to hurt. But it means that you will be fortified by just trusting Him. You'll be encouraged by just trusting Him. Plus, you will experience the fruit of the Spirit, which deals with joy, peace, in the midst of all of this. If you'll allow God to be glorified in your life in a way that He would not be glorified had this not occurred. If this did not occur in your life, people, please understand, God will not be glorified in your life as He would be if this did not, would not be, if this did not occur. But since this did occur, and since you are going to trust Him, then God is glorified in your life. And you have to make up your own mind. This is part of this whole thinking, considering and thinking as you enter into the suffering, what's the purpose of my life? If the purpose of your life is about you, then okay. Go to another church, probably. But if the purpose of your life is that God can be glorified in my life, and that is your purpose, then don't pray that kind of prayer and then complain when adversity and suffering come in the way. I know what we think. You know, God, it seems to me, my plan, my thinking, that you could really be glorified if you give me lots of money. Well, it seems like to me that glorify you. It still would glorify you to me. Well, it seems to me you would be glorified if my marriage didn't end up in divorce. Seems that way, so be glorified. And that's the only way you're going to be glorified. You can't be glorified if my marriage ends in divorce and I'm walking away. Conditional. No. You don't tell God how he's going to be glorified in your life. These circumstances come upon you in various ways, and you just decide whether you're going to trust him or not. God can be greatly glorified in the most adverse of circumstances in your life. Not always by what we think about the good things. He can be glorified in the divorce. He can be glorified in just all kinds of things that happen. If we enter it and go through it by faith. The whole adversity, finance, illness, whatever it may be, children. It can be a great test in regard to a husband and wife holding on together. Sometimes a husband and wife go through their life, they're so busy, he works, she works, they do this, they do that, and then an adversity comes along, a testing, a trial, a suffering, whatever it may be, related to the children, related to finance, related to health, and they come together. Now, you should have been doing this all along, but they come together in their prayers. They come together and start talking together. They get involved in the worship and the assembly together instead of fighting, attacking, and blaming each other for what's going on. They start coming together in regard to the plan of God for them. So, endurance. Will you continue to trust him? The endurance of faith in the midst of the test. Suffering plus time. Now, another way of looking at this in this regard is not just the endurance of our faith, but the endurance of spiritual love, because we have well studied how important spiritual love is. What's the first impact of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4? The first impact of spiritual love. The first thing said about it is that spiritual love is long-suffering. That's the first word said of it. The concept of endurance. It's long-suffering. Why is spiritual love long-suffering? The endurance of love. I don't want to. This person does not deserve love. Does not deserve to be loved. They hurt me. And they continue to hurt me in this marriage, in this business, in the church, in social life, whatever it may be. People, why do you think spiritual love is long-suffering first mentioned? For the endurance of that love in your life. Without damaging your soul and without damaging your spiritual life. The most difficult part of most tests, one of the most difficult parts of most tests is people. God, if I could just get along without people. You know, that's why a lot of people historically have gone to these little monk things and they get into there and they don't have to put up with people. They get to run from the world. That's why people move, hide up in the mountains somewhere. Now, not everybody who lives in the mountains hiding and running, but the principle. They get away from people. Get away from the hassle. Just get away from it. I'm never going to fall in love again. I'm never going to marry again. I'm going to build this wall. I don't want to have to deal with it. That's not the solution. Running is not the solution. The endurance of spiritual love is the issue. That's the, and even when you run, it's still there. It's always there. I don't have time for this, and I don't know why. My mind just said forget it, but it came back. Guy joins a order. A brethren, and they have to take 20-year vow of silence. This is required. Every 5 years, they get to come, and they get to say two words, and that's it. So this man joins, running from the world. He gets in there, first 5 years, and he comes up, and his words are, food bad. They said, okay. Then another 5 years comes up, and he says, bed hard. And then the next 5 years came up, and that was it. He's at it, and his words were, I quit. And the head man said, we're not surprised. You've done nothing but complain since you've been here. So it's the endurance of these things. Well, you don't go into that blame and to that hurt. Okay. Now, we're going to close this morning on our study, the source of endurance. There is a great deal to be observed about suffering and endurance. And I thought about a 20 points on endurance, but I'm not going to. But I want to close with an emphasis on where am I supposed to come up with this. So this is another one of those words that sounds like God is saying, I want you to come up with this. The endurance of your faith. Therefore, it is up to you to continue to persevere in your faith. That's something you have to do. It's a decision you make. God is planning on you doing it. This is what you have to do and be for God. And boy, God is looking to see who's going to have the self-discipline, who's going to have that determination, and who is going to endure through the adversity. So let's look at the source of endurance. We know that endurance is important, but where or how am I supposed to come up with this endurance? And most preachers and most people say that it is by our doing. You just have to be committed. This is what God is. This is the whole thing, don't you see? God is wanting to find out if you're really committed to Him. Will you come up with this endurance of your faith? You just have to work at it, pull it up from inside your soul to have this endurance. So in other words, it's from your flesh that you are going to endure in your faith toward God. Well, let's see if this lines up with Scripture. Let's see if this lines up with what the Scripture says. What is the source of endurance? Do you desire it? Do you desire endurance? Yeah, I'd like to have that. Well, I'd like to have it just through a day. Sure, I'd like to have it. So how am I going to get it? Well, first of all, let's get one thing very clear. You do not create or generate endurance by the will of the flesh. Let's just start with that. You do not. In fact, I'm going to add the word, you cannot. In the manner in which God is talking about, you do not, you cannot create or generate the endurance by the will of the flesh. Now, this is the endurance that God is looking for. This is not the endurance that Aristotle speaks of. And I use him because if you do not want to walk by faith, people, please go to Aristotle. He is a genius on how to live without God. How to live without the Holy Spirit. And so he has an endurance that comes from the flesh. So this, the flesh, the endurance that we're studying, that God is looking for, is not the endurance and cannot come from the flesh. Secondly, even our endurance. Let me rephrase that. Even the endurance of our faith. How about that? Even the endurance of our faith is from God. So if you desire endurance in your life in the midst of suffering, adversity, people, you're going to have to go to God. Even for the endurance to go to God. I love what God said here. He's told us we're going to have something, but like so many things that we have seen, everything that God asks of us, He first gives you. I want you to trust in my Son. He gives you a greater mustard seed of faith for your death. I want you to love one another as I've loved you. He gives us spiritual love to pour into love. People, please appreciate the fact God will never ask of you anything that He does not first give you. Ever. That's what kind of God He is. This is not something you're going to have to come up with yourself. This is a gift of God. Now, can we see that in Scripture? I'm going to start out some of the passages. It'll be with the Spirit opening our eyes and showing us what's going on. But there's a passage that is so clear that to miss it, you've really got to work. And many people do. Many people do. But for those that will see how clear it is, please let's start in Romans, Book of Romans, Paul's writing, Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. Okay. Now, guess I'll just start with verse 1 for fun. We want to actually start in verse 4, but let's start in verse 1. Now, after all these chapters, we who are strong, now how are we strong? Walking in the Spirit, ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, those who are not walking by faith, not walk by faith, do not have the understanding of Scripture, and not just please ourselves. What he's saying here is there are a lot of things we can do that are perfectly fine. You'd be surprised. I think we'd all be surprised at the number of things we can do in the power of the Spirit that other people like to call sin, that are not sin. But you got to be careful when you get into that kind of discussion. There's just a multitude of things that a believer is spirit-filled and understands so much can move right into, but then he wouldn't be doing love, then he wouldn't be in the Spirit. And spiritual love would not come out because spiritual love considers others. Verse 2. I used to teach that verse so wrong. I used to teach you don't want the weak people controlling the strong, and if you live your life for the weak, that's the weak controlling the strong. People, that's all such garbage. It's such lacking of the understanding of spiritual love and what spiritual love does for you and how spiritual love guides you in dealing with one another. Verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. To the neighbor's good, the neighbor's edification. For even Christ did not please himself. If you're going to follow Christ, then here it is. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. Now verse 4 begins where we want to start looking at this. For whatever was written in earlier times, Old Testament, was written for our instruction, that through perseverance, there's the idea, through perseverance, hypomone, and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. Hope is so important in our life. When people lose hope, you lose life. You have no hope, you quit living. There's no reason to. Hope is vital, and that's why we have the book of Revelation. That's our hope and our confidence. Now, verse 5. Now, please read it very carefully with me. May the God who gives perseverance. People, I can't see a clear passage in all the Bible. Where does it come from? From God. It comes from God. Now we go into discussion. Let's read the verse. Now may the God who gives perseverance, this is the word we have in James, of hupomone, and encouragement, he gives encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Okay. If you do not see hupomone or endurance in your life, then you know that you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to discussion. Now may the God who gives perseverance. Well, which member of the Godhead is that, if we want to argue that? A lot of people like to get into these kind of arguments, and if you want to talk about which member of the Godhead and be dogmatically, if you want to believe that the God who gives this is God our Father, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with the fact that this is referring to God the Father, because God the Father is the final authority, and God the Father is the one who directed the Holy Spirit to us. God the Father sent us His Son, so therefore salvation is of Him. Salvation is of God the Father in the sense that God the Father set up the sending of His Son. So I have no problem. In Galatians chapter 3, that God who provided you with His inner power do it in vain, if indeed it was in vain. So here is God the Father as a source. Also, if you want to see, and I do, this is God the Holy Spirit. Because God the Holy Spirit is the one who provides us with endurance when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. So now may the God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, both involved, who gives perseverance, gives directly when we walk by faith, or gives it through the giving of the Holy Spirit, gives perseverance. That's the main point, though, that this is of the Holy Spirit. That's our word, hupomone. Now, how do I get, so let's take a look there, what we got, and think our way through this. It is God who gives this perseverance. Now we ask the question, how, and this is an important Bible question. How can I receive what God did? If God gives something, how can I personally receive it where it has an impact in my life? And the answer is always the same, people. If you're going to receive anything from God, it must be by faith. It must be without any merit of man, and therefore the only thing that we can do that is without merit of man is our faith, not our confession, because that's our doing, not our repentance, that's our doing. But it is our faith, simply trusting Him to give us what He did. Look at it another way. Faith is just receiving what is already yours. That's a better way. It's already there. Endurance is already inside of every one of you. I don't care how severe it is and how long the test is or the adversity. Endurance is as close as you are because it's right there in your soul in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's yours. Now, whether or not you want to claim it or not, entirely up to you. But it is yours by faith. So if you're going through things and you do not experience this endurance, what do we know about ourselves? Nobody has to judge us. I know then I'm not walking by faith. I know that. We've seen this so many times. If love isn't there, what do I know about myself? I'm not walking by faith. If stress, anxiety, and depression are there, what do I know about myself? I know I'm walking in the flesh. I know I'm not trusting Him. That's why these things are present in my life. So if He says, if endurance is lacking and you want endurance, people, you don't sit down and work real hard and think on it, and I'm going to be committed to endurance today. No, you are committed to faith. I'm going to trust Him. Not committed to endurance. Endurance is from God. Just trust Him. Verse 6. Let's read verse 5. So we've got our momentum. Now may the God who gives endurance and gives encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. That's not our study. But the same mind is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, last verse, verse 16. Now verse 6. Now, we're the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ, that with one accord, because we're walking together, you may, in the power of the Spirit, you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, do you see it? Glorify the Father. I am so sorry that few believers have intimacy with God the Father today, that they're bogged down, and I use that on purpose because I hope it pines us so we'll bog down with Jesus. Trapped there, stuck there. He came to take us to the Father. He came to bring us to the Father. Why adversity and suffering in our lives? Look what it says. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glorification of Him. We are here to glorify the Father, and we do this by endurance in our life. And where does the endurance come from? God gives it to you. It makes it easy for you to glorify God in your life. How? How do we receive endurance from Him? Not by doing, as most people are going to teach, but simply by trusting. The pattern for receiving the endurance from God is the same pattern we saw at the cross, where we receive anything from God by faith. It is on the basis of grace. If it's on the basis of grace, it's on the basis of faith for our part. Anything that is not a faith is not grace, because you're doing something. Okay, that to me is pretty clear on where it comes from. Look at me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, in writing these believers, puts it another way. Colossians chapter 1. This is one that we're going to have to see what the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and your ears to see what he's saying. All right, verse 11. Colossians 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all power. What is always in Scripture? The power of God, the Holy Spirit. When you see that kind of phrase, you know the power of God is the Holy Spirit, and we're strengthened by his power. According to his, God the Holy Spirit, glorious might. Strengthened with all power, Holy Spirit, according to his, God the Holy Spirit, glorious might. In other words, the strength and the power to live the Christian life. For the attaining, okay, we have the strengthening and power of God the Holy Spirit. Why? For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Now, steadfastness is our word, hupomone, endurance. Steadfastness or endurance. So we want to be strengthened with the power of God the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can attain steadfastness or endurance. Why walk by faith in the Spirit when everything's going wrong? If you desire endurance of faith, then you walk by faith in the Spirit and he gives it to you. The more you walk by faith in the Spirit, the easier it is to walk by faith in the Spirit. The longer, listen though, the longer you walk in the flesh, the easier it is to walk in the flesh. Just in that period of our life where we start learning to walk by faith in the Spirit, that's a big struggle and battle. The more you do that, the easier it is. But there'll always be a battle of faith. Just know that. So, now what's the word patience? Because it's so close. What is patience and steadfastness? Well, patience, guess what? Is the word that we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, describing spiritual love, macrothumia, long. Long suffering. In other words, these two words describe two different aspects of endurance, are continuing to walk by faith in the Spirit. Joyously, that's the concept of James chapter 1, count it all joy. How are you going to do that? The power of the Spirit. Endurance is a gift from God, the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that is received by faith. Now, for our study dealing with Satan's lies, and our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, let's read verse 12. Just kind of have that just added in our mind. Giving thanks to the Father. People, if I conjure up endurance, then I don't give thanks to God. But I'll give thanksgiving to God. But if even that is from God, and you make it through, and you're going through it, you give thanks to God that you trusted him in the midst of the suffering and adversity. Giving thanks to the Father. Something that will happen if you walk by faith. Who, the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, read that. Giving thanks to the Father, who, talking about God the Father, has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Do you see anything in there about your performance? No. Where does your qualification come from? Because you live morally righteous? Because you learn lots of Bible doctrine, because you get a charismatic experience, because you serve? No, he qualifies you. He qualifies you, not your performance. See, when you go to Satan's lie, my self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me, my self-worth, my qualification, my being qualified to serve God depends on my performance. People, the biggest lie and handicap of so many Christians, judging one another, putting this on a Christian. Many Christians just take off. I'm not qualified. I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy to serve Him. That comes from man's thinking. It comes from Satan's lie. It comes from other Christians. You don't qualify yourself. You didn't in the beginning, and you don't at any time. That's of God. Don't let the world do this. So this becomes very important to that study. Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life? He qualifies you. No place for the performance trap when you walk by the power of the Spirit. All right, let's look at Galatians, the primer of all of Paul's teaching, fundamental teaching of the New Testament for the church. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Sort of a crescendo chapter. I always encourage people to get our tapes and start it on Galatians. You've got to persevere. You've got to endure to chapter 5. That's the crescendo. That's where it comes together. All right. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Now these are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are not from you. They are not from you. They're not by your performance. They're not by your knowledge of doctrine. They're not by your doing good, being moral. They are fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. Don't take credit for what God does. If you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, you trust Him, He gives you these things in your life. Here they are. Love, joy, peace, patience. There it is, patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now let's just take a look. How many of these are related to the concept of endurance? Let's take a look. Well, patience, faithfulness, self-control. Three are directly related with the concept of endurance. And note where it comes from. It's the fruit of the Spirit. People, you don't make a decision that you're going to hang in there. You're going to apply that and just hang in there with your grit. That makes good Americanism. That makes a great John Wayne. It makes a very poor Christian. All you and I are going to do is, in our weakness, we're going to trust Him by faith. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience. Faithfulness. Self-control. Have trouble with self-control? Work on it. Work real hard on self-control. No. Nope. Relax. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Watch what He starts doing to your life. It will not happen overnight. He starts cleaning. He starts rebuilding and starts transforming you into the image of Christ. And faithfulness and self-control start in. The word for patience here is our word in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, makrothumia, love. Is long suffering. So, since we're here, look at the very next verse in our study of being who you are in Jesus Christ, Satan's lie. People, it's all through Scripture. I'm just totally amazed as I study how much I'm seeing in Scripture related to that study. It's just amazing. And I have to laugh. Of course, Leslie laughs loudest, but I thought I could do it in 4 tapes. And then it went to 8, and that's when she really let me have it. And so I don't know how many. I'm going to try to limit it. I really am. Not because of the subject matter doesn't lend itself, but just to make it something that people will go to and take a look at. So, but look at verse 24 while we're in seeing these things. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with all its passions and desires. People, being who you are in Christ means that you realize that the old flesh has been crucified. You want to live in the new man. Live who you are in Christ. That's where you live. Not in the old man, but in the new man. You're not going to solve stress, anxiety, and depression in the old man. It's dead. It's corrupted. It's wounded. Incurably wounded. It's insane. If you're going to handle stress, anxiety, and depression, it's going to be in the... Even God, people, doesn't try to make you a better person. God does not make you a better person. God recreated you as a new spiritual creation. So even God isn't going to. And I'm so sorry when people go to psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors who are going to work on the flesh to make you a better person. They're not going to do it. It's a lifelong job and it'll never be accomplished. So what God said is I've given you a new creation. Well, who you are in Christ. So there's that passage to deal with these things. So either walk in the flesh here, walk in the power of the Spirit. If we walk in the flesh, guess what? You're going to believe Satan's lie, and which is your performance and others' opinion of yourself, which is going to produce stress, anxiety, and depression in your soul. So the source of endurance is from the Holy Spirit, by faith in the Holy Spirit. While you're there, look at verse 25. Galatians 5, 25. If we live by the Spirit, that means life, let us also walk by the Spirit. Faith. Walk by faith in the Spirit. As you have received Him, walk. How did I receive Him? By faith. How do I walk? By faith in the Spirit. One more passage here. Look at 2 Peter 1 with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, let's look at verse 5. So writing it down, we're going to look at 5 through 7. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Let's read verse 5 of Peter. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. All of this is by faith. And in your knowledge, self-control. So we know. What do we know? We already know where self-control comes from. We just read it. The Holy Spirit. All of this is by faith in the Spirit. Not stuff that you and I conjure up. And in your self-control, perseverance. Holy Spirit. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, spiritual life, fruit of the Spirit. All of this comes by our walking by faith in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. See that word godliness? All of these things working together to godliness. Well, this brings about in our thinking how we're transformed into the image of Christ. Being who you are in Jesus Christ. Look with me at Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation 1, 9. I, John, your brother, will be seeing this soon in our verse-by-verse study of Revelation. I, John, your brother, believer in the body of Christ, fellow partaker in the tribulation, tribulations in our life and suffering, and kingdom, and perseverance, that's our word, endurance. Now look what he says. In Jesus. Was on the island of called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Christ. But what I want us to look at is the relationship of endurance and our being in Christ, and we are in Christ when we walk by the Holy Spirit, being who you are when you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, if you are walking as to who you are in Christ, the new man, then you're going to have the endurance that is indicative of the person of Jesus Christ. Now look at 2 Thessalonians 3. Go back to Paul. 2 Thessalonians 3. It's James, Paul, Peter, John, they all teach the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's a from the Holy Spirit. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Now, this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Lord hears the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit direct your hearts into the love that is from God, spiritual love, and into the endurance of Christ. His endurance. And we'll see what that means in just a moment. I'm taking you on a little journey here of busy you are in Jesus Christ. Now, one more before we come to the kicker. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Timothy 1:16. And yet, for this reason, I found mercy in order that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience, endurance, as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. His perfect patience. This is what we will have. We follow him. Now, let's get a demonstration of his patience. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at his perfect endurance. I stopped in Revelation 12. Let me get to Hebrews 12 with you. Hebrews chapter 12. Now let's note verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured, there's our word, endured the cross. The suffering of the cross. 3 hours separated from God is like a lifetime to us in regard to Christ, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, people, I want to talk to you a moment about Jesus Christ without getting into an exegesis for the passage. He endured the suffering of the cross. So here's the cross. Boom, he endures it. Why? For the joy that's over here. You and I are going to endure the suffering, the adversity, the tribulations, all the things, whatever we want to call it here, tests that happen in our life, and we do these things in regard to the joy that is set before us. Do these in regard to our eternal relationship with God. People, if you and I do not believe, if you and I do not believe what's part of our daily life in eternity, if you and I do not believe Revelation, if you and I do not believe in a heaven and a hell, if you and I do not believe there is eternal existence, I want to see the hand of anybody that will endure suffering if you don't have to. We're not going to do that. I'm getting out of here. If it is just this life, not for a minute am I going to endure any suffering that I don't have to. Now, there's some sufferings and adversities can't be avoided, but I can sure run away from home. I can sure get out of a marriage. I can sure punch somebody in the nose. I can sure run. And that's only wise. If there is not tomorrow in reference to my relationship with God and eternity, give me a reason why we should. Aristotle will come up with some of his thinking, but I'll reply to that and say, I'm sorry. If you want to do that, you do it. But I don't like to hurt. Hurt hurts. And I'm not going to do that if I don't have to. I'm not going to keep loving somebody that keeps doing me wrong. I'm out of here. If all we've got is this life. If all we've got is this time on earth, then people, there's no reason. So why will we endure? Why will we endure? Why do we want to endure? We endure because of our faith. Why do we even want? Why would we desire? Because eternity is a reality to us. It's more real than my life here. Eternity, revelation, and eternity is more real than the suffering that we might endure. It's just more real. And that's a difficult thing to comprehend. It is more real than living right here is the certainty of eternity. It is just that. And so we follow Jesus Christ. He is our example, and he endured the suffering of the cross as our example of enduring the suffering that you and I will have to do. And often it might be related to sin. It might be related to your sin. It might be related, as it was with Christ, to the sins of others. Are you willing to endure that? The spiritual love, long-suffering, the failures, the hurts, the sins of others, and yet you'll endure all the suffering, adversity, and the things that it brings into your life because of their sins and their failures and the way they are. You're willing to be that as a parent? You're willing to be that as a husband? You're willing to be that as a wife? And we're walking in the relationship with Christ. Yes, we are. Why? Because of our assurance of eternity, our assurance of being with him forever and forever. We have that insurance. Okay, let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 7. James 5, 7. James has used the concept of endurance all through his writings, but let's look at James chapter 5, verse 7, the endurance of faith. Because when you do walk by faith, guess what? You're going to receive endurance from the Holy Spirit to walk the next moment by faith. James chapter 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren. Look what it says now. Let's relate it to our study in Revelation, to our eternal hope. Be patient, endurance, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Then just the rest of the verse, behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Here's an example that's very important in a lot of different spiritual warfare ways, but let's just take the superficial thing of what he's doing here. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Why do I want to have endurance? I want to have endurance until the coming of the Lord. I so believe in the coming of the Lord. And that's why we're going to have endurance and develop endurance. I so believe in Revelation. People, we have so many things that we're going to see that it affects in your daily life. And somewhere along the line, I'll do another class, and we'll just list about 10 of these, maybe 12 of these things, of the difference it makes. We've already seen that because of his coming, things we're seeing in Revelation affects communion. We do not judge one another because he's going to do that one day. Here we're going to continue to walk by endurance. Why? Until the day of the Lord, until he comes, sets up his kingdom. There's a reason for us having this endurance throughout our lives. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans, part of Romans is not only the heart and core of the spirit-filled life, but is also being who you are in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, and that's why we do hope. If you don't hope for what you have and what you see. You hope for what you do not have and what you do not see. With perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. With perseverance. Perseverance in the Christian life. Perseverance in our marriage. Perseverance in suffering, adversity. Perseverance in dealing with people. Perseverance in every aspect of life. Why? Something here on earth in this thing? No. But what's going to happen? We're up here in a hope. I don't even see it. It probably isn't even going to happen in my lifetime, though I think it's going to happen in ours, but I don't know that. So it's a hope out there. But because of that hope, we and I are going to persevere day in and day out in the adversities and the tests that come our way in life. While we're here, look at Romans chapter 15 again. I know we've been there, but let's just read Romans 15 one more time. I'm going to show you something else here related to this hope. Why do we want to have endurance? It deals with the coming, the understanding of the event of Revelation. All right, Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance, endurance, and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. This hope that is, and that's going to give us to live it. Now look with that in mind, look at Proverbs 24. Sit back with me at Proverbs 24. you're going to read and see what's going on in Romans 15, 4, you want to always have in mind Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, and let's look at verse 14. Proverbs 24, 14. No. There's that concept that James uses, knowing. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Okay, is in your wisdom. What's the wisdom? Wisdom is having this knowledge in our soul, but the Holy Spirit still takes that understanding of knowledge in our soul, and that's wisdom. Wisdom is applying the truths of Scripture to your life, to your marriage, to your single life, to your finances, to friendships and social life, every aspect of your life. That's wisdom. So, know that wisdom is thus for your soul. What is it for your soul? If you find the wisdom, which is in the power of the Spirit, there will be a future. And your hope in that future not yet seen will not be cut off. People, to the degree that you and I do not have our hope, watch this, to the degree that you and I do not have in our hope, our confidence in the plan of God, our confidence and hope in what's going on in Revelation, to the degree that that is not a reality to you, to the degree that that is not important to you, that is the extent of your endurance. You will reach a point where I don't care, I don't believe it, whatever. But to the extent that that is your confidence of your life, that is the extent of I'm going to continue to walk by faith in God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to continue to do that. All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 1, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, for all of you, for an assembly of believers. Isn't that fantastic? And by the way, I want you to know that in Hot Springs, I had two people say they're in constant prayer for you, this assembly, for all of us together combined. That's what he's saying here, for an assembly of believers, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness, endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus, in the presence of God and Father. Blessings are related to our endurance. Now, we understand it in reference to the future, to the time, but they're blessing ways from God to those who will wait on Him. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30, and for those of you writing it down, we're going to look at Isaiah 30, 18. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Okay, let's read together Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. Therefore, this is a beautiful verse. It takes a lot more time than just the reading. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. People, what stops Him? What stops Him from being gracious and us receiving everything? The absence of our faith. Therefore, the Lord longs. What kind of God do you have? Here's what kind of God you have. Longs to be gracious to you, and therefore, look what it says, He waits. There's the endurance. That's the word in the Hebrew, endurance. He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long or wait for Him. The word for long is actually to wait on Him. He waits for us to have the endurance of our faith. While you're in Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 40. The beginning chapter in dealing with the great chapters of chapter 40 through 60 in the spiritual warfare. It's, to me, one of the greatest chapters, and there's so much involved in this. But let's move from that point and look at Isaiah chapter 40. Let's look at verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? You see that knowing? How many times have we seen that? James said it. We've seen it in Isaiah. We've seen it in Paul's writing. This is the assembly. This is how important the knowing of Scripture is to our life. The understanding and the take and the study and assembling together and for the learning and seeing these things. Do you not know? Have you not heard? And we hear in the assembly studying together. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Have you not heard that? His understanding is inscrutable. He gives, now here's that giving again, he gives strength to the weak. People, only when you and I are weak are we can walk by faith in the Spirit. As long as you think you can do it, you don't need to. This is the series, Boasting in Weakness. When you're weak and you walk by faith, he'll give you strength. When you don't need it and you're strong and you can handle it, that's fine, and go and do it on your own. But when we break down and we realize, I can't do it, I need you. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power, the power of the Spirit. You lack it in the flesh, he'll give it to you in the Spirit. Verse 30. So youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait, endurance of faith, for the Lord will gain new spiritual, Holy Spirit strength. They will mount up like with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. That's endurance. Do you see that? They'll run and not get tired. That's endurance. How far can you run? How far can you run? Some people can't run very far. They can run around the block, run up the block, run up the street. Others can run a mile. Others can endure 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles. Endurance. Okay. They will run without and not get tired. Endurance. They will walk and not become weary. It's what he gives to us. If you will trust him, this is what God does for us. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 49. We're about through. Isaiah 49, verse 23. Isaiah 49, 23. And the kings will be your guardians, and their princes, your nurse, your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet, and you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait, endure for me, will not be put to shame. It looks like it. It looks like while I'm walking in faith and endurance, I'm being put to shame. What did Christ look like on the cross to the world, people? What did he look like for 6 hours on the cross? Pretty shameful. Pretty shameful. Pretty weak. Very weak. Very shameful. What was going on? Whole redemption of our souls. You're not going to be ashamed. No, people, you won't see it during that time frame. You may not see it in your life. That's why it's called hope. I really don't see the endurance of faith in this suffering in my life. No, you won't. You may not in your whole life. You may not see it. That's why it's called faith. That's why it's called hope. Because we won't see it in our lifetime. Let's look at Isaiah 64. This is where we live. This is the suffering that a lot of you go through, and both here and on tape. We all go through in life, the suffering, adversity, trials, difficult, very difficult financial times going on in the world today, in the United States and in the world. And so it comes down to, are we going to just continue to trust him? Isaiah 64:4. For from the old they have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen a God besides thee, who acts in himself, who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. You want God to act in the midst of your suffering and adversity? People, it doesn't mean to just relieve it, but to act in the midst of your suffering and in the midst of your adversity. This is what God will do to those who will wait on him. Let's close with Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, 1 through 7. We're all going to suffer financial, physical, marital, personal problems, sufferings, adversities. It may not go away very fast, very quickly. So here's the perseverance and the source is from God the Holy Spirit. Psalm 25, begin reading in verse 1. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my voice. O my God, in thee I trust. There's the faith. Do not let me be ashamed. We've already been told those who wait on the Lord will not be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for thee will be ashamed. He now answers it, tells us that. I know I'm not. I asked for it, but I know it isn't going to happen. Those who deal treacherously, without cause, they were the ones who will eventually and finally be put to shame. That's what Revelation's about. Make me know, there's that knowing again, cause me to know thy ways, O Lord. How will he do it? The intake and study of Scripture. Teach me thy path. Teach me how you do things. Teach me your solution to stress, anxiety, and depression. How your ways are not my ways. Lead me in thy truth. What's the truth? Truth of the gospel. And teach me, for thou art the God of my deliverance. For thee I endure, or wait, I endure all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy compassion and thy love. Now what are you asking to remember in the midst of hurting? His compassion and his love. For they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy love, remember thou me. For thy goodness sake, O Lord. People, it is for his benefit that he is going to reward, bless, and carry us through the adversities and suffering if we just continue to walk and trust him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our whole study, Heavenly Father, in dealing with testing has not been about us, but about you. What kind of God you are, how you manifest yourself in our individual lives and circumstances. Our hope, our confidence is you. What you will do in our individual lives and circumstances, and what you will do and are going to do in eternity, and what you're going to do in the book of Revelation. And you have given to us, Heavenly Father, everything necessary to make it through every adversity that Satan will throw at us, that the flesh will conjure up in failure and sin, and that the world will try to pressure us to live. You have given to us sufficient power in your spirit. You have given to us endurance through all these things if we'll just trust you. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.